in microbiology, which is now called impedance microbiology. It's relatively new. Let me tell you that this started back in 1899. One single paper. And for 50, 60 years, I don't know if there are five or six more papers. In 1870, a guy in England, Ur, U-R, Amiram Ur.
Adam?
Amiram, A-M-I-R-A-M. Amiram Ur. It must be from Pakistan, I do not know. Once he called me up from England, we talked on the phone for 1 hour, and I never heard from him. In the middle, we have the unfortunate Malvinas Falkland War. That was the end of our talk. Another unhappy event in our lives. Well, in 1970, somehow he resurrected the idea. And from 1970 on, we can call the new era of the impedance microbiology. And I recall that one of my colleagues, well, this reminds me of another institute we founded.
Please
make a note, because see the ideas are coming up. This is another story. One, this colleague of mine, Dr. Richard Ricardo Farias, one day, 20 years ago, he's a biochemist. He called me up and said, "Listen, Max, I got a paper here in the Journal of Applied Microbiology. Apparently, they are doing something with that thing that you mentioned so many times, and I do not know what it's about. Impedance. Send it over." It was a short paper, 2-3 pages long. I read it and I said, "This is easy." Never say that. "This is easy. We do this in 2-3 months. Well, it took us only 20 years to fully understand what it is, how it works, how it should be developed, and I think that now we are at a stage in which really we can do many things. There are other laboratories, and actually it's full of possibilities. We published several papers. In fact, we have a few papers in medical and biological engineering in the transactions of the IEEE. There is one which will appear, no, it's already published, I think, this year, by my closest collaborator is, as I said, Carmelo Felice.
Felice?
F-E-L-I-C-E. Okay. We call him Eddie. E-R-Y. His nickname. He's an excellent guy. And, with that, the possibilities, for example, in the food industry are terrific. In the dairy industry are terrific.
Has this been commercialized?
Well, there are a couple of instruments, one in England and another in California, but our instrument is better. Because actually we can separate out the growth curve. You can get bacterial growth curves perfectly. And now we have an instrument which combines the impedance technique with turbidimetry.
With what?
Turbidimetry. It measures the opacity.
Yes.
Now, the thing is that you need a transparent medium. However, if your medium is milk, you cannot use turbidimetry. The only possibility is the impedance. And now we are able now to separate the different components which are introduced by the electrode-electrolyte interface. The electrode, you have the electrode and the electrolyte.
Right.
This interface is tremendously complex.
Yeah.
And here there is a resistive component, there is a capacitive component, and also you have the component of the bulk, the medium.
Mm-hmm.
So actually we can separate out the bulk component, which is mainly resistive, the capacitive component at the interface, and also the resistive component at the interface.
Uh-huh.
Actually, you can get three growth curves.
Mm.
And although there are some mathematical relationships between the resistive and the capacitive component, you can calibrate that.
Uh-huh.
For example, to have an idea of the possibilities in the industry, say that you have here the dairy plant. They receive so many thousands of liters of gallons of milk, raw milk, every day.
Mm-hmm.
From the dairy farms, 1 to N.
Mm-hmm.
This is raw milk. From here, the output, they have the product, which goes into the market.
Mm-hmm.
Milk, homogenized, pasteurized, yogurt, cheese, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Always the milk that goes from the farm to the plant is contaminated.